We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Chris, isn't this the dumbest thing ever?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very
People
much.
People are obsessed with this. Stop tweeting at me and telling me to retweet it. I'm not going to do it. I'm purposely not doing it because I'm annoyed that so many people are asking me to.
That's what it's kind of come to with me, too. Exactly. So many people are talking about it, though. It's unbelievable. Even my friends are saying, hey, have you seen this? Vote for the Browns with the best fan base. And it's like, what do I get from this? Am I going to go around bragging this year? Like, hey, remember that survey that they did on Twitter? Remember
right.
that? Remember that? Yeah, we won that over the Titans. Take that, Tennessee.
By the way, is it the fact that the Titans are in the finals against the Browns make the whole thing a fraud?
Like, yeah, since when do they have diehard?
Yeah, what kind of fan base do they have? Like, outside of maybe like the Bengals and the Jaguars, I can't think of a worse fan base.
I know. They're more into country music than they are into football. By the way, the Green Bay Packers, if you want to talk about diehard fans, like, those people show up in negative 40 degrees and they stay to the very end. I mean, that's pretty diehard, if you ask me, not the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, the whole thing's so stupid. All right, Chris. Yeah. Heading towards the home stretch of the season here, a couple games left. You know, it's funny, we talk about tanking in the NBA more than any other sport, although it's happening more in baseball these days to some degree too. But I think what gets lost when we talk about tanking is the players, and I guess the coaches, they're never tanking, right? I think people kind of confuse that. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's absolutely fair. I mean, these guys want to go out and they want to win. I mean, Larry Drew wants to go out and he wants to boost his resume a little bit, if not for consideration for the Cavs job, which I think is still very unlikely, but for another team to look at him and say, hey, we want him to be our assistant coach or our lead assistant coach or the highest paid assistant coach. So yeah, I mean, their agenda is something of what it's been at the beginning of the season. Like, reality sunk in with this team about what was possible. That happened probably a couple of weeks into the season after Kevin Love went down with a foot injury. But they're still going out there playing really, really hard and trying to win these games. And they want to win this game tonight against the Golden State Warriors. They're probably not going to. The Cavs are the worst road team in the NBA, and the Warriors are still fighting for home court advantage. But that's their goal, is to go out there and win.
Chris, Colin Sexton has been up and down, more ups here as of late than the early part of the season. What do you make of his performance this year? And like, do you think he could be better than we thought?
I wish I knew, right? I mean, I think it's so hard to figure out like who he's going to be ultimately in his career. And I think it's going to be a huge challenge for this front office to try and figure that out. Because they would have to do a lot of projecting with him, and they would have to make maybe even a lot of excuses for him based on some of the things that happened this year. So I don't know ultimately what he can be. I still think the way that he plays and just his style, it lends itself to being a sixth man off the bench, guy who's going to bring energy, he's going to bring tenacity, he's going to be able to score for himself more than he is going to be able to create for others. But I'll say this, from the very beginning to this year, he's further along than the Cavs thought he was going to be at this point. And I think he's further along than a lot of people around the NBA thought he was going to be. I can tell you he's further along than Larry Drew thought he was going to be. So that shows the kind of worker he is, and it shows the kind of development that he could potentially have. So I think it's hard to put a ceiling on it right now. He's 20 years old. He's the hardest worker on the team. He has some flaws. He has some limitations. But I would say that his rookie season has been better than people are giving it credit for. And I think part of the reason why his deeper analytic numbers are towards the bottom of the NBA, this is just my opinion, but it's because of the situation that he was thrust into, because of the amount of injuries that the Cavs had, because he was a rookie carrying a huge load. And usually guys like that, with all those different obstacles, they're not going to contribute to winning in a positive way. And I think Larry Nance Jr. said to me best the other night, guys. He said, look at all of our numbers. Larry Nance Jr. looks at real plus minus. He looks at box score plus minus. He looks at defensive rating. He looks at all those different metrics that are nowadays assigned to figure out a value of a particular player independent of a lot of things. And Larry Nance Jr. said, look at all of our numbers. We're all at the bottom of that list because we're one of the worst teams in the NBA.
Yeah. We're talking with Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com. Chris, obviously, we're all hopeful the Cavs get the first overall pick and get Zion Williamson. But let's say they finish in the second spot.
Yeah.
How much does Colin Sexton factor into who they take with that pick?
Yeah, I think a little bit. I don't think they're ready to completely dismiss Ja Morant. But I think the Cavs understand that that would be a very, very difficult proposition to have those two guys in the backcourt together. Offensively, other teams would have to try and stop them. But defensively, that would be a nightmare. And I think the Cavs recognize that. So I think if it comes to Ja, the thing that the Cavs have to figure out here is what Colin is going to be ultimately. And they're going to have to accelerate that decision. So if they see Colin Sexton as a sixth man like I do in the future, then they could probably get Ja Morant and say, okay, we're going to split those guys up. We're going to bring Colin off the bench. We're going to have Ja be the lead point guard on this team. But if you're talking about a backcourt of Colin Sexton and Ja Morant, I just think that's asking for trouble, and I think there's a ceiling to what a team ultimately would be able to accomplish. And if you're talking about your two building blocks being those two guys, I think you hit a wall of never really getting into championship contention. You become the Portland Trailblazers, by way of example, or maybe the Washington Wizards. So I think if the Cavs had the second pick just today, based on what I know about their feelings on this class, I think they would take R.J. Barrett because I think, one, they think he's a better player than Ja, and two, they think he would be a better fit alongside Colin. So when you have both of those things, it makes the decision a little bit easier.
Chris, you think if the Cavs were somehow able to get Zion Williamson, how quickly do they get back to being a legitimate playoff contender or a contender in general?
Well, I think it depends on a lot of things. Is Kevin Love going to be able to stay healthy? That's really, really important. I mean, that was the guy coming into this year that the Cavs internally knew they couldn't be without. And they've been without him for 58 games. It's going to be a hard proposition to consistently win games and consistently compete at the highest level when your highest paid player, your focal point on offense, the best player that you have, misses that much time. So I would say that a core of Colin Sexton, Zion Williamson, Kevin Love, Tristan Thompson, Larry Nance Jr., Jordan Clarkson, until maybe they flip him at the trade deadline for future draft picks or some other kind of assets, like that looks more promising.
Jetty, right? I mean, you forgot about Jetty, Fedor.
I forgot about Jetty.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to Jetty and all of the people listening that are fans of Jetty.
That's right.
I mean, that looks a lot more promising, right? And you're talking about the bottom of the Eastern Conference where you're competing with, I think Atlanta is going to be really good next year, but Orlando, Charlotte,
Nets,
Brooklyn. I mean, those aren't teams that wow you, that you think are significantly better than what the Cavs could have going into next year if they get Zion, who I think is going to come in and be an immediate difference maker. I just think he's that kind of guy.
You think the Rockets can beat the Warriors?
No, I don't.
Wow. So you think nobody can beat the Warriors? The Bucks?
I don't think anybody can beat the Warriors because, I think a lot of teams, I think Boston could challenge the Warriors in a seven-game series. I think the Raptors maybe could because of Kawhi. He's somebody who has given the Warriors a lot of problems in the past. I think the Rockets can push the Warriors, but you have to beat them four times in seven tries, and they're probably going to have home court advantage. And it's very, very difficult to win at Oracle. So I just think the way that Steph and KD are playing together right now, is on a completely different level. And I just think beating them four times at seven tries is not something that any team in the NBA is going to be able to do.
If they lose Durant and, say, Cousins this season at the end of the year, do we go back to an NBA where there's not an overwhelming favorite?
Yes.
I guess it depends where they go, but like...
Sure, but like, here's the thing.
Yeah.
If the Knicks get the number one pick, right, and they take Zion and trade him to the Pelicans for Anthony Davis, and KD and Kyrie also go to the New York Knicks, and now you've got a big three of Kyrie, KD, and Anthony Davis, we're probably having a different conversation.
Sure.
But a lot of things would have to go perfectly in place for that to happen. It could. It happened with the Golden State Warriors. Everything fell in line at the right time for them to get KD. But I just think it would be more spread out.
Chris, if you know, people always speculate that they cheat on the lottery. So if the Knicks win, that speculation will definitely fly up.
It will, but at the same time, I don't know how it could. Like, the Lakers winning the lottery, to me, would create that kind of speculation. That's just my opinion.
That's true.
I mean, the Knicks have the highest percentage equal to the Cavs and the Phoenix Suns right now of winning the lottery.
I guess I was just comparing, like, versus the Cavs. I wasn't really thinking about the Lakers because they're a long shot. You're right.
Right.
But I was just saying, between those three, like, if the Cavs get it or the Suns get it, nobody's going to say that the league's cheating. But if the Knicks get it, even though you're right, they have an equal chance, the top three, people will still throw that out. Even though I don't believe that. You don't believe that, do you?
I don't. Yeah. No, I don't believe that. And could you imagine if the Cavs won again? It'd be, what, four lottery wins over the last 10 years?
You know, it's funny that people...
I've heard
people say, well, they're not likely to get it because they've gotten it so many times. That doesn't make any sense. They are just as likely to get it as any... They have an equal chance to the other top two teams to get it. They're not likely to get... Nobody's likely to get it because you only have, a 14% chance?
Yeah,
but
right.
Their odds are not lower because they've gotten it in the past.
Nope.
You know,
not at all. I mean, unless you believe in luck and fortune and lightning
basketball
can
gods.
Only strike a certain number of times.
Yeah. Right.
Basketball gods. We know, Bull, you believe in the basketball gods.
Definitely
we
not.
Remember that conversation.
Definitely not. Chris, appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you soon.
You got to go.
Thanks, Chris.
All right.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.